Take your Bible this morning, if you will. Let's go to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Chapter 14 of Judges deals with, to me, one of the most interesting people in the Word of God. And I think, unfortunately, this fellow is a good representative of most Christians. Good representative of most Christians. I think you'll maybe see that as we look at him. Judges 14, verse 1. The Bible said, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, 'I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife.' Then his father and his mother said unto him, 'Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?' And Samson said unto his father, 'Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well.'" Let me just stop right there. That's why I say he's like so many Christians today. We're not worried about what's right. We're not worried about what God wants. We're worried about what pleases me. We need to be worried about what pleases God. That ought to be our thought. But verse 4, "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Then went Samson down, his father and his mother, to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid. And he had nothing in his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and mother, and he gave them, and they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion." I'm going to leave off reading right there and use these words this morning. We'll come back specifically to one part here in just a moment. Samson, as I said, one of the most interesting individuals in the Word of God. He was one that the Bible says at times the Spirit of God would move him. And when the Spirit of God did that, he was absolutely undefeatable. Now, in our day, we've watched movies, we've watched TV shows where this one martial arts expert takes on 50, and man, if you watch it, it's hard to even keep up with it, you know? I mean, he's up, down, swinging his legs around and everything, and he comes out unscathed. But that's all choreographed. All of it. But old Samson took on 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass and slew them. There was no choreography to it. There was no working in preparation. Man, it was just him against the crowd. But the Spirit of God made him undefeatable, all right? Undefeatable. Gave him power that was unmatched by anybody in his day. But at the same time, we look at the life of Samson and we can compare him to the average Christian. His life was not a series of successes for God. Here's a guy that when the Spirit moved him, nobody could whoop him. But you would think, man, there was a guy that, boy, man, his life, it ought to be one success after another. But when you look at his life, you see so much wasted opportunity, all right? He really didn't do much more than what an average Christian does for God today, all right? And you say, why not? I want you to look at verse 8. Because in verse 8, we're going to take our text. There's three words there. I want you to look at them. After a time, he returned to take her, and here's the three words, he turned aside. He turned aside. Those words right there, they don't seem like much at first glance. I mean, okay, he turned aside. How could that be such a big thing? Well, it reveals a pattern that we find really in his life and in the lives of so many of God's people today. All right? We turn aside. Could I just begin by saying, look, Samson's life was laid out for him before he was born. And it was God's path for him, all right? It was God's path that he had. And when he did what he did here in verse 8, it was more than just taking a detour and on the way to where he was going. It was more than just going a long way to get to the right place, if you will. But really, when those verses say he turned aside from the path God had appointed for him to take, all right? You see, God had laid down a path for Samson that was a path of purity. It was a path of promise. It was a path with a purpose. And Samson turned aside from all three of them. You say, preacher, how in the world do you see that? Just those three words, he turned aside. Well, he said, how could he have turned aside from purity? Well, hey, Samson was to be a Nazarite from his birth. That wasn't Samson's choice. That's what God picked for him. God said to his parents before he was to be born, he's going to be a Nazarite from his birth. Now, that meant some things. Now, one of the things it meant was that as a Nazarite, you could not be around any dead carcass. All right? He wouldn't be anything around any dead carcass whatsoever. Period. Now, we read there in the earlier verses how the Spirit of God had moved him. A lion came out against him. The Bible said with his bare hands he rent the lion. I'll never forget hearing Dr. Phil Schuller preach. I was a teenager. He was preaching. He said that lion roared out against him. And he said Samson went up to him and he rammed his hand all the way down his throat and grabbed him by the tail and yanked him inside out. He said, did it happen that way? I don't know, but it sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know? The Bible said he rent him, all right? But then he goes back. He turned aside. Now, wait a minute. He had no business going back there. He knew he had no business being there. But he just turned aside. I want to go see. Now, what was he looking for? I don't think he was expecting honey. But he went aside. He turned aside, and he had something to do with that. You see, a Nazarite was separated from some specific thing. He was to have nothing to do with them. But Samson turned aside from that path of purity. He turned aside from that path of promise. I want to remind you, he was the promised son. Manoah and his wife were promised, you're going to have a son, and we're giving him to you, and you raise him because God has a job for him to do. God has a job for him. He was that promised son. He turned aside from that. He turned aside from the purpose God had for him. You see, God sent him to be the judge for all the nation of Israel. All the nation of Israel. What a job he could have done. But what we know of Samson, think about it. What do you know of Samson? Well, we know he slew the lion. That really helped the nation, didn't it? No. We know he carried off the gates of the city, right? Remember hearing that? You know, they were laying in wait for him. He snuck out, and, you know, it aggravated him. So he grabs the gates of the city, yanks them off their hinges, marches up, puts them on top of a hill, leaves them there. Now, that helped the nation, didn't it? No. You said, wait a minute, preacher. He killed 1,000 of the Philistines. Yeah. But to help the nation? No, because they was after him. They were after him. You see, they were after him because he had messed up in something else. He had chased down 300 foxes, tied their tails together, put firebrands in them, and turned them loose, and they burned up the wheat fields. Once again, the ability he had wasted. You see, he turned aside from the purpose God had for him. He turned aside from that. Hey, Samson's God, can I say this to you? Samson's God is the God of you and me today. He's the God of us. He's our God. The child of God today has the same God. And I believe with all my heart, our God has a chosen path for us. He has a plan for our life. He's got a plan for your life. He's picked one out, all right? There is a thing called the will of God for each one of you. Now, the question is, are you in that will? Are you in that will? Maybe you're like Samson. You're kind of in and out of it. Because you see, you turn aside. You turn aside. You see, the same path God picked for Samson, can I say this to you? God picked for you and me a path of purity too. Take your Bible. Take your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter 1, would you? 1 Peter chapter 1, way over near the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, all right? All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 16. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Hey, friend, that's you and me. God says to you and me, be holy. That implies purity. He said, you be holy as I'm holy. As I am holy. He's talking to the child of God. He's saying to us, we're to be holy people. God's picked out a path for you and I to walk, and it is a path of purity. It is a path that stays away from sin. It is a path that says, I'll touch not the unclean thing. That's the path God has for us. Is that the path you're walking? Is that the path you're walking? Well, preacher, most of the time. Well, then that's not the path you're walking, right? We turn aside. We turn aside. That's exactly what happened to Samson. We've got a path of purity to walk, but we turn aside from it. We turn. Hey, it's a path of promise. It's a promise path. You know where the Bible said he's promised never to leave us? Never to forsake us? Never to do that. Now, we turn aside from him, but he never turns aside from us. He didn't turn aside from us, but we turn aside from him. We walk off from God. But God never walked off from us. Never did that. Hey, there's a path, you know. He's laid it out for us. Over in Isaiah, the prophet said, this is the way, walk ye in it. This is it. This is it. It's that path God's laid out for us, all right? This is it. The path of purity, path of promise. Hey, it's a path of purpose. God has a purpose for you in this life. God's purpose for you. Wait a minute, preacher. God never called me to preach. I understand that. But he still has a purpose for you. There's something he wants you to do in your life. The one thing I said, I know this is the purpose for every one of us. He said to all of us, let your light shine. Let your light shine. So others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's our purpose. We've got a purpose, all right? We've got a purpose in this life. Somebody said, I don't have any reason to live. Yes, you do if you're saved. You've got a reason to live. Well, everything's wrong. Everybody's gone. You've got a reason to live. You're to let your light shine. That is your purpose in this life. To let it shine. And so people can see it, and they'll have testimony of your good works, and it'll cause them not to glorify you, but to glorify your God. That's our purpose, folks. That's our purpose. Have you turned aside from it? Have you turned aside from it? You get pulled aside by something? Or you like Samson that says, well, wait a minute, I know God says this, but this pleases me. See, that's the way with Samson. He said, this pleases me. Well, it's not necessarily about you. Now, I realize that may be a staggering shock to you, but life's not necessarily about you. Amen. Amen. All right? It's about your purpose. God says you're to let your light shine. So there it is. But he turned aside. Now, I want you to, it was God's path, but I want you to see this. Second thing I want you to see, it was Samson's passion. All right? It was Samson's passion. Would you go back there again in Judges 14? Look again there in verse 8. And notice very carefully. It says, he turned aside. He turned aside. You say, what are you getting at, preacher? There's no one to blame but Samson. Amen. No one to blame but Samson. Hey, there was nobody standing on the street corner flipping one of them signs with the arrow on it pointing him that direction. It was Samson's choice. He made the choice. God didn't lead him down that byway. God didn't lead him. God had nothing to do with it. It was Samson. The world didn't taunt him. You know how sometimes we do something because somebody stands and taunts us long enough, and you know, it's like, ying, 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 I bet you can't, I dare you, I do. You said, that's kid stuff. Yeah, and I've seen adults give into it. We let the world taunt us into something. You're a chicken. You're a coward. Come on. Prove you're a man. Show everybody. We let ourselves get taunted into something. Can I point out to you that wasn't the case here? That was not the case here. Hey, by the way, it wasn't Samson stumbling, tripping along the way, and happened to get on the wrong path. Wasn't that? You said, what is it? It was he. He turned aside. He turned aside. All his business. All his choice. We love to blame everybody and everything. Hey, there's nobody else to blame. If you turn aside, it's your fault. Amen. You did it. You did it. When God says don't and you do it, don't blame somebody else. You did it. He turned aside. There's a multitude of Christians today who have turned aside from the plan of God for their life all of their own accord, man. They turn aside all their own. You said, how does it happen? Look in James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 14. Won't you notice, man, it's right here in the scripture, plain. We can see it. We can read it. We don't have to worry about it. We don't have to wonder about it. You don't have to take my word for it. It's in the Word of God. Notice what the Bible says, but every man. Would you notice that word every in front of man? Every man, every one of us, is tempted when the old devil. No, it's not that. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Amen. It's our own lust. It comes from within us. Comes from within us. We talk about that old man. You and I, if you're saved this morning, you've got living within you the Holy Spirit of God. There is a new man residing in you, but the old man's still there. That old flesh that we live in still got a pull on us, still got a tug at us, and we have to fight him. And that's that old man that the Bible said we're drawn away of our own lust. He said, what pulled Samson down that road? Samson pulled Samson down that road. It's a self-inflicted problem, all right? We turn aside because of our own lust. Don't blame it on the devil. Brother Hawkins and I used to laugh back and forth about a comedian that used to have his words, the devil made me do it. The devil, old Flip Wilson, man. I mean, he was famous for that saying. And we'd joke about it. Brother Hawkins said, yeah, he talked about the church of what's happening now, all right? And that it was a comedian there. But wait a minute. It's not the devil makes us do it. Now, we blame the devil, but it's us. Our own carnal desire pulls us away from the path God set before us. It's me. It's me. I pull myself away. Amen. Not that it's me. It's you. It's you. It's not that crowd out there pulling you. No. Hey, like Samson, a lot of people today, they're not just turning away for the first time. Remember the first time? Hey, Samson was headed down that road there the first time, and he ran across a lion. I don't know. Maybe God sent the lion to stop him. But he didn't stop. He just took care of the lion. And we get like Samson. We turn aside. We have some little altercation. You see, God allowed Samson to whip the lion. God allowed Samson to whip the lion. And we get into that first little path down the wrong road, and we think, I'm okay. But old Samson was about to meet something that he couldn't whip during his lifetime. He was about to meet up with it, all right? You see, too many of us, we get away with sin the first time, and then we think, got away with it the first time, I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I didn't get caught that time, I'll do it again. Hey, the lion didn't get you on the first trip. But you better be careful if you think you're okay. You better walk real careful if you think, well, since you didn't get me the first time, I'm okay this time. I want to tell you, there's more than a lion waiting down there for you, all right? You don't know which time it'll be there. The truth of the matter is your own appetite will eat you up. It'll eat you up. We live in a day where we're way too familiar with drug addiction. There's none of us, I dare say, if there's any, it's extremely few people that doesn't know somebody that's been addicted to drugs. They may not have been illegal. They may be prescription drugs. But we get addicted. People get addicted to them. Hey, listen. It's their own appetite that eats them up. It's their own appetite eats them up. That own lust comes back. You be careful. You be careful. Hey, Samson, he had a path. God laid out the path. But Samson's passion pulled him aside. Same thing pulls us aside. Same thing causes us to turn aside. It's me. It's you. It's not the devil. It's not the world taunting us. It's not somebody dragging us. No, it's us. We made a choice. I just want to finish today with this question, this statement. There's a price to pay. There is a price to pay. When you turn aside from the path, you turn aside from the purpose and the promise that God's laid down, there's always going to be a price. You will always pay a price. That price, number one, is defilement. You will defile yourself. Sin defiles the individual. You mess with it long enough, you think, I'm okay, I'm okay. No, watch out. It'll defile you. Sin will defile your conscience. Right. It'll defile your conscience. The Bible talks about people having a seared conscience. It's defiled, all right? When that conscience is defiled, then you can do wrong and it won't bother you. It will not bother you. We've heard stories of people committing just unspeakable things. We hear of people that would literally, they became serial killers, but it went beyond that. They would kill and then eat some of the body parts of the people they killed. Now, the normal person hears that and it'll make you sick. Make sick. You go, I can't believe it. And we've said that kind of thing. We hear something like that and we go, I can't believe somebody could do that. And we think, how in the world? I'll tell you how. Because they defile their conscience. They defile their conscience. Hey, listen, folks, I'm just going to put this out there. The homosexual world today has defiled themselves to the point they're no longer satisfied unless it's perverted. Unless it's perverted. You hear me? That perversion started way back yonder when they turned aside. Did they know that's where they were headed? No. No. But they turned aside. They turned aside. You do that, you'll defile yourself. You defile yourself, you can do wrong, doesn't bother you anymore. You lose that conscience. The truth of the matter is you get to the point where you can't do what's right. Everything that you do will always be tinged with wrong. Everything you do. Why? You defiled yourself. You defiled yourself. You said, preacher, I don't think that could happen to me. Yeah, that's what everybody thinks. But you can't play with sin without paying a price. You will pay a price. It'll defile your conscience. It'll defile your mind. The man who has a defiled mind cannot think right. Just absolutely cannot think right. No, they've lost their ability to think right because it's defiled. It's defiled. Yeah, they got no way to, you know, to even get it back in line. And I will say this, once that's true, that defiled man cannot stop himself. Given in wholly to that sin. You say, preacher, man, what are you trying to do? Just scare us out? Yeah, if I could, I would. Amen. I would. I'd do anything I could to keep you from going down that wrong road. Listen, I look at people today, people that I've known, and I think, man, way back yonder, when you took that step and you turned aside, you had no idea where it was going to take you. But look where you are. Look where you are. Now they can't even think right. You try to deal with them. You try to deal with them. You ever tried to talk to somebody whose mind's been blown on drugs? There's one young man that I remember who was in our youth department at one time. And he came to church some, went to camp with us one time, and we get him to come. We never could really get him to come regular, and then got where we couldn't get him to come at all. And talking with his mom, and she said, man, he's got messed up on these drugs. And then as several years later, when I sat down, I did see him, and I sat down to try to talk to him. You can look in his eyes and tell it doesn't work anymore. Mind doesn't work anymore. Defiled himself. Let me say this to you. The price you're going to pay is not always evident right up front, okay? It's not immediately evident. Samson didn't immediately pay any price for turning aside. Instead, you might say, hey, got some honey out of this deal. Brought back handfuls of it, gave some to his mom and dad, didn't tell him where it came from, ate it, went on his way. Everything's good, all right? But wait a minute. Eventually he paid a price. Now, if you know the story, you know what happened to him, all right? The lion didn't devour him, no. But his own appetites did. His own appetites did. I preach a sermon on Samson, and I talk about the man who couldn't say no. Man who wouldn't say no. His own appetites devoured him. Hey, way back, he turned aside. His own appetites devoured him. He wound up blind. He wound up as a slave. He wound up serving the same function as a donkey would serve or an ox. He was laughed at. The people that used to fear him now laughed at him and made sport of him. Why? Because one day, He turned aside. Christian, I want to ask you something. What are you doing? Are you turning aside? God says to us, here's the way, walk ye in it. Is that the way you're walking? Or do you say, well, preacher, pretty much most of the time, every now and then, yeah, it's that every once in a while you turn aside. You better be careful. You see, those appetites will wind up eating you. If you don't learn to stay where God has you to walk, it ruined Samson. It will ruin you too. Samson was devoured by his own appetites. Why? Because that one day, back there, he turned aside. I got away with it! And he kept turning aside. Is that where you are this morning? Are you sitting there saying, preacher, you don't know what I've done, and nobody else does? I got away with it. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I'm pretty smart. I can get away with it. Yeah. But God knows. Amen. God knows. Would you bow your heads this morning? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Hey, maybe you're listening at home today. Have you turned aside? Have you turned aside from the path God has for you? Have you decided there's another way for you to walk? Have you decided, no, I don't need to walk that way. I can go any way I want to. Wait a minute. Watch out. Don't turn aside. You do, And that same appetite that devoured Samson will devour you. Don't let that happen to you. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd deal with our hearts today. Help us to see ourselves as we are. Lord, help us to see there's a path you've chosen for us and you've given to us. And Lord, if we'll stay there, we can be happy. We can be satisfied. We can be fulfilled. But Lord, there's that old flesh that keeps wanting to turn aside. Lord, help us not to give in. Help us not to turn aside. But Lord, if there's some that have turned aside, would you help them to come back today? Would you help them today to come back? Get back where they should be. First, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, this morning as we sing the invitation hymn, Just As I Am, with Have Thine Own Way. Excuse me. Have Thine Own Way. As we sing that invitation, would you let God have His way for you this morning? Would you come while we sing? Come on, come on. Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the Mold me and make me after thy will. I am waiting, yielded and still. Sing that next verse this morning. Would you come? God's speaking to you. Would you come? Maybe you need to come back to Him. Maybe you need to come today and trust Him as your Savior. Master, today, whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence, humbly I bow. Sing that next verse. Folks doing business with God, you need to join Him today. God bless you. It's good to have you this morning. And I hope you'll heed the message. Heed the message. Don't turn aside. Don't turn aside from the path God has for you. Hey, just a little short advertisement. I meant to give it earlier. I think I'm going to start trying to give it every Sunday. We have this thing, this meeting, and I think maybe a lot of people don't realize it. It's called Sunday School. Sunday school. It's called Bible study, all right? Whatever. And we have it every Sunday morning from 10 o'clock till almost 11, all right? And you'd be surprised at what it could do for you if you'd come. Amen. You'd be surprised what you might learn, okay? And I just want to challenge you to do it. Challenge you to do that, okay? Hope you will. Hope you'll do that. Hey, listen, make sure you meet Mr. Cockrell, if you would. If you haven't met him, meet him and get acquainted with him and come back tonight, 6 o'clock. We'd love to see you in the service. Oh, by the way, we do have Sunday night service. Okay? No extra charge. You can come both services. Years ago, I was in Georgia. Paul Anderson, the world's strongest man, was putting on an exhibition in our town, Vidalia, Georgia. And he put on three or four exhibitions that day, all of them time. My brother and I were there on the front row for every one of them. And you know what? It didn't cost any more to come to all of them. And I found out something. He did something different in every one of them. Every one of them. Hey, we're going to preach to you from the same book, but it'll be a different sermon. So I hope you'll come, all right? We'll sing some different songs. Brother Lance already got them lined up, okay? So we're ready to go. You come and join us, all right? Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer if we could. Brother Dunbar, would you dismiss?